Tonight we're going to look at John chapter 2, verses 23 through chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I need y'all to remember these four things as we're reading this, and it'll kind of give us a basis to go by. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, John tells us that God created all things, that Jesus created all things. And he tells us in John chapter 1, verse 15, that Jesus is eternal. In John chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, Jesus has all fullness and grace. In John chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus reveals God to us. And we're going to look at a few things here in John chapter 2, verses 23. If you would stand as we read God's Word tonight. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name. And when they saw the signs which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to ask my Father if he would lead us in a word of prayer. I'm kind of glad God blessed this man I'm fixing to mention a few things about, because without him we wouldn't have lights, we wouldn't have some of us wouldn't have air conditioning and all kinds of things. But Benjamin Franklin was known as a great statesman and inventor. But he was also a great correspondent and received letters from famous people from all over the world. One day he received what could well have been the most important letter ever to come to his desk. It was from the well-known British preacher George Whitefield. I find that you grow more and more famous in the learned world, Whitefield wrote. As you have made such progress in investigating the mysteries of electricity, I now humbly urge you to give diligent heed to the mystery of the new birth. It is the most important and interesting study, and when mastered, which will richly repay you for your pains. You see, we get caught up a lot of times with the things that we see that are great, the things that we get that we do that are great, and we miss what God has for us because we're caught up with, I told you my class this morning, with a rock star mentality. We're looking after people who just catch our eye, and we think that they're the greatest thing ever. I've had a lot of famous people that I've come in contact with in my life, and some of them, none of them are really that big. And if I told you who all of them were, some of you would know who they were and some of you wouldn't. But really, they weren't anything big. But if you saw what they did in the world, you would be drawn to them. And that's kind of where we find ourselves here in verse 23. We find ourselves where Jesus is at the Passover. And he's done a lot of miracles, a lot of signs, and all the people are looking at him. And they're following. And they think, man, that's cool. I really like what he's done. He's healed people. He's done all these things. And they've come across, and it says here, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. You know, they believed in Jesus because of what they saw. Don't y'all believe in Jesus because of what you see? Yeah. I believe in him because I see that he is no longer in the grave. That's what he says. My faith is based on him being alive. And I see that he's not there. And so, yes, I believe Jesus because of what he's done. He died on the cross for me. He shed His blood for me. He got put in a tomb for 3 days for me. And He lives again for me and for you. And yes, I believe the things that Jesus did wholeheartedly. But you see, these people here, they believed when they saw the signs. And that's what they believed in. And they believed in the things that He could do. And they thought it was really cool and neat. And it says here in the next verses, in verse 24, "But Jesus did not commit Himself to them, because He knew all men." Jesus didn't commit Himself to them because He knew their heart. He knew they believed in His signs, but they didn't believe in what He could do. They didn't believe in Him, that He was the saving power, that He was the Christ. And so we look here and we see that Jesus does not need man to witness for Him. And that's what we see here in the next verse. And He had, "But Jesus did not commit Himself to them because He knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for He knew what was in man." Jesus does not need man to witness about man. He doesn't need us to tell Him about anybody in this room. I don't need to go before Him and say, "Tell Jesus about Ken Worthy." Because Jesus knows Ken. I don't need to go before Him and tell Him about Wade. Because Jesus knows Wade. I don't need to go before Him and tell Him about Dale. Because He knows Dale. And if I could go in here and enlist every one of your names throughout this room, I don't need to tell Jesus about you. Because He knows you. You know why He knows you? Because He created you. He created you, and without that, He needs nothing else, because He has accurate knowledge of the human heart. Complete accurate knowledge. It's just not one of these things where He goes, "Man, I know just a little bit about Dale." No, Dale, He knows you, right? Everything about you. You can't hide anything from Him. And when these people believed in the signs and wonders that He did, they stopped right there. And they didn't accept Him for who He was. And Jesus knew this because He knew their heart. Okay? I'm not going to be very long tonight, because I'm going to be very pointed. Jesus knows that the human heart is attracted to the sensational. Man, y'all think about it right now. You think about what you're attracted to. You're attracted to the stuff that has all the fireworks. I know my kids are. You put a video game in front of them, man, they're attracted to it. They want to hit a home run. They want to hit a dinger. And MLB the show. Some of y'all are attracted to music. Some of y'all are attracted to, you name it, down the line. You find what you're attracted to, and you're attracted to it because of all the lights and the whistles. We go to concerts. We have lights, smoke, loud music. It brings us in. It gets our attention. But Jesus knows the heart is attracted to the sensational. We look at the time where He fed the 5,000. They were there listening to Him, and it came down to the time where they were hungry and they needed to be fed. And so what did Jesus do? He fed them. The next day, what did they come looking for? It wasn't for Jesus. It was for another full stomach. They were attracted to the man, who feeds 5,000 people? With nothing. Jesus. And they really, really enjoyed that. And so that's what they came after. In grace, He fed them. In grace, He fed them. But you know what? When Jesus looked at them and said, "You come that you be filled, but I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I don't have any more food for you, but what I have is the bread of life." He taught with truth. And when He spoke truth to them, they weren't impressed with the sensational anymore. Filling of their stomach, that was what they wanted. But they weren't impressed with the truth. Now we look here and we continue over here in John chapter 3. It said, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus." There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He comes to him because of the signs and miracles. Nicodemus was attracted to God because of the things he could do. He was attracted to him because of the goodness, all the things that he saw. But I want to point out something to you. Nicodemus was a man. He was a man. I remember I told you back in verse 24, I think it is, where he says, "And he had no need for anyone should testify of man, for he knew what man was." Nicodemus came to him and said, We know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things. Nicodemus is testifying for other men to him. We know. We know what you are because of the signs that you do. But Nicodemus was a man. He was a man of high moral character. He was a religious leader. He was a Pharisee. Now, some of them were not really highly moral characters or really highly regarded in that such as we look back in the Scripture. But this is what Nicodemus was. Nicodemus had a deep religious hunger. Nicodemus knew the Word. Nicodemus was coming to Jesus to find out more about what was going on and what he had to say. But the problem Nicodemus had was he was a man of profound spiritual blindness. He had a huge problem just like the rest of us do. We look and we see all the lights and the bells and the whistles, and we're blinded by those things. Nicodemus was too. Profound spiritual blindness. And Nicodemus was a man witnessing about man. And so Jesus cut straight to the heart of the matter. And he said this. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." You know, it doesn't matter how you're attracted to Jesus. It doesn't matter what you see. It does not matter about the... I want to say this right. It does not matter about the big pop. It doesn't matter about the lights going off. It doesn't matter about all the things that he can do if we don't understand who he is. I can look back and I can see all the miracles that are written in the Bible. And those are great things. But if I don't understand that Jesus is the Savior, and without him, I cannot see heaven. Nicodemus was confused. He thought, "Should I enter my mother's womb again?" And Jesus said, "No, this is not a physical birth. This is a spiritual birth that I'm speaking about. You know, it doesn't matter all these other things that I do. If you don't believe in who I am and what I can do for you, the big show is just a show in your eyes." And so I wonder tonight how many times you have thought about all the things that Jesus has done and forgot who he is. How many people you come in contact, you get, man, we're fixing to renovate part of the building. It's going to be so beautiful, isn't it? It's going to be so nice. It is so needed. And we get lost in that beauty and how God's blessing, and we forget who Jesus is. Place yourself in somebody's shoes that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that may be you that you're sitting here. Great music tonight. Great services today. But if that's all we see and we don't see Jesus Christ for who he is, then we've missed it. So as Michael comes tonight, and if you find yourself in that place where you've just been enamored so much with the greatness of God, which I'm going to tell you, that's not a bad thing. But when that's what we see and we forget who he is, that's when it becomes detriment to us. Because we just get caught up in the lights and the glory. I don't ever want to get caught up in so much of God that I forget who he is. Does that make sense to everybody? Do you understand that? To forget who he is to me, You know, these people that were looking at Jesus and they believed in Him because of the signs and wonders. Man, I see so many people in this world today. They're following such whatever ideology they can find that they can attach themselves to because it's made a spark in their life or it's meant something to them. And so I'm heading straight after that with everything that I've got. And that's what they were doing, man. He spit in the clay and rubbed it on a guy's eyes and told him, and he can see. He's been blind from birth. Look what he's done. But who is he? He is the Savior of mankind. And if I remember nothing else about Jesus, let me always remember that's who he is. That was his purpose. All those things were done so that we may believe. But if we just see them and we never believe, we totally missed what he came for. So tonight, if you find yourself missing what he came for, let's get that straight tonight. Let's find Jesus in our hearts. Let him speak to you. Let him come in so you'll always know who he is. Y'all stand. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come to you in prayer. And Father, we just thank you for the things that you did while you're here on this earth. Father, we know that it means so much more for what you left here on this earth. Father, that you left sin here. Father, you also left your redemption here. That, Father, we accept it. And we come to know you as a personal Savior. Father, that we're born again. That we don't just see all the things that you did, but, Father, we were able to see you for eternity. Father, I love you, and I thank you for everything you've done. In your name I pray.